Percolate on a particular mix of odd and inspiring news headlines in Wendy's Coffee House. Newsmakers with a penchant for the unknown, unexplained, and unusual share their experiences with UFOs, ghost encounters, near-death experiences, and more for your own unique blend of Wendy's Coffee House Curious.
And it's that time. I hope you've got your coffee. I've got mine. It's a little rainy out there, cooler this morning, but beautiful. Did you have a chance to go out and see the sunflowers this weekend? I think people who didn't get the memo ended up stuck. Apparently there was a lot of mud out there, but those sunflowers. Grinter Farm has been a hot topic this week because of that fabulous display of sunflowers. And I abstained. Yes. Not that I didn't want to. I took all the pictures I could find on Facebook and everywhere else. We went to Kill Creek Park because, well, it wasn't crowded. And we took pictures of flowers out there. But if you're wanting to go, they said, as soon as it dries up, everybody's welcome. Okay. The cool thing about that is there is no admission. Just doing a news roundup here of the stuff that was happening this morning. And I've got my guest, Lily Leonardi, joining us in a few minutes. She's known for saying that she saw angels at the site of the crash site, United Flight 93. And this is, she waited 10 years before she told the story. She was working with the FBI. She'll talk with us about that a little later. But in the news, the headlines here, of course, I go for the fun stuff. Rolling Stone, the top 25 soundtracks of all time. And I was thrilled to see that my favorite one is on there, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? That's number 10. But number one, because everybody wants to know the first one, The Beatles, Help. All right, so there you go. You're caught up. The fun news of the week was that, I don't know, it's kind of hard. It's a toss-up. There's one about the ghost that has escaped from the pub with help, with an assist. But the first one was that, and people thought this was really crazy, Internet, once that SpaceX explosion happened, went nuts with UFO. It's got to be a UFO. And then they posted one piece of video that showed this missing two or three frames, that something happened. What was happening in the missing frames? So fortunately, somebody tracks down what was happening. And there's this little object that you can see, and they've circled it for everybody. So you can see there's this little object up there. Okay, so, well, of course, that was the good part where everybody's like, oh, yeah, this is it, this is it. Uh-huh, it's a UFO, yeah. Okay, then the experts come in, no, it's dust, it's a bird, it's a plane, it's super, no. It's all this stuff of what it might be. Well, sure enough, Elon Musk has not ruled out a UFO hitting the SpaceX rocket that exploded. Now, remember, we talked about the PK guy who said he had something to do with the Challenger explosion, and it was, yes, aliens. So some of this stuff, you know, it may sound extreme, but right now what he is doing, and sometimes this works and sometimes it doesn't, he's asking for crowdfunding to help figure out what happened. That's at least according to today's Twitter feeds and stuff like that. He was complaining. But he said that investigators have not ruled out some kind of flying object causing the explosion. Okay, so this is the deal. And you can follow the developing story on Twitter. Okay, so there you go. The deal, the truth, though, is that they're planning launches, and those are scheduled unless there's something that tells them that what happened with the explosion, okay? They're going to derail everything until they figure out what's happened with that. And right now, the hard news of it is that they do think there was some kind of a malfunction. The prevailing theory, a mechanical component, failed. All right, so that's what they're looking at. But the crowdfunding thing is going forward, and the Internet is always entertained by stuff that happens on Twitter, especially when it's UFO-related, okay? And I'm sorry, but I fit in that category. Collateral Beauty, the new one from Will Smith. He's back in action. This is a movie. And this is, I thought it was fascinating. It's right up your alley if you're into metaphysics. He was in Suicide Squad. I saw the interviews on that. That wasn't for me. But this one, it's kind of a mix, like a Wonderful Life twist of it. The guy, he's a businessman who falls into a depression, and his friends are trying to get him to, you know, snap out of it, get along with it. Well, he starts writing letters and to, like, love, time, and death. And what happens is death shows up. Hi, you wrote. Here I am, Helen Mirren. So that one looks like an interesting one. Doesn't come out till December, but I bookmarked that one. The amazing news of the week, they pulled the dog out of the rubble. more than a week after the earthquake, 9 days, 9 days. And the family said they hadn't given up. When they went back with authorities, they were, you know, escorted to a place to retrieve anything they could find from the rubble. And they pulled the dog out. Golden Retriever looked okay, and they heard him barking and pulled out Romeo. So that they just continue to work, and, you know, that was an amazing, incredible story. The other story that was a tearjerker, a woman who died in Mexico, the relatives were there at her funeral, and everybody had gathered. The dog shows up, Baron. He'd been missing for 15 days, you know, a couple of weeks. When she died, and I think he'd been staying with relatives, and they would check in on him and all that, because she was at that point too ill. And then at the funeral, here comes the dog, and they said they usually do not allow animals in. But this dog showed up howling and scratching at the door. And so the funeral worker said, all right. And so he went in, he laid down by the coffin and got up to look at her and view the body, you know, with the rest of the family. And that was just, and they said this has never happened. They were just, they have no idea. And they don't say what went. I'm assuming the dog went home with the relatives. All right, the positive one was the dog who got the Harry Potter under the stairs closet. The lady who said, you know, she thought this would be a perfect place, so he's got the cupboard under the stairs. And that, you know, this is why I like this stuff, because there's so many stories on there. All right, now we have to do the one at the British pub. What happened here? It's the Ye Old Man and Scythe, 765-year-old pub in England. It says it was haunted by the ghost of James Stanley, 7th Earl of Derby, beheaded outside the pub in 1651. Well, of course, I guess it was close by, so he just decided to walk next door and chill for a long time. Well, apparently, this ghost is now missing, and they know who took him. The Chinese artist, Lu Pingyong, and I'm sorry if I butcher the name, okay? But Lou, I'll do that, says that he caught the ghost at the pub in a symbolic act in reaction to the UK's colonialist past. Apparently the ghost was okay with that because the ghost, yes, is missing. And he says that he has the ghost, and the ghost is apparently going on tour. Now, the pub is not thrilled about that because, of course, the ghost was there first dibs? Anyway, the ghost, this is a real story. Lou, on his website, says his stories are partly authentic, partly fictional, and concerned with spiritual themes. The ghost agreed to be captured and used for his exhibit. All right? The ghost may return, he says, only if it wants to. My original thought is after the world tour of exhibitions, I will discuss with him and ask him if he would like to stay as a piece of art or go back to Ye Old Man and Scythe. Okay, now, here's the hooker. I mean, the hook. Oops, pub. Yeah, that was a slip. Haunted by at least 25 spirits. Okay, and HuffPost says that if that's the case, then they could at least spare one, and he's it. Up next, Lily Leonardi. This is an incredible story. What she describes, an encounter with angels. And it's an amazing, amazing thing to talk about. So we'll be talking with Lily Leonardi next on Wendy's Coffee House Talk Radio, KCMO.
Kansas City's most stimulating talk, KCMO.
Do you smell it? Fall is in the air. The aroma of authentic festival fare in Weston. Mark your calendar. Tobacco Festival, Apple Fest, Weston Irish Festival. Each has its own unique flavor and fan club. Theme music, traditional foods and drinks make each festival a weekend-filled adventure. Everyone has a favorite. Visit westonmo.com or download the new Weston mobile app for more information and a complete calendar of all festival events. See you there.
When a nightlight speaks and only you can understand it, do you listen? Or pretend that your imagination is merely playing tricks? Talking to Nightlights is a revitalizing spiritual guide that follows a woman's inspirational journey to learn the power that can be harnessed by losing fear and suspending disbelief. Available now on Kindle and paperback at Amazon.com.
Stop being drained by energy vampires. A full energy audit from Eric's Energy will expose the pesky problems plaguing your home. weatherization, insulation, and other energy-saving technologies installed by experienced, reliable technicians will drive a stake through the heart of what's tormenting you. Call 816-537-5100 or visit us at ericsenergy.com. 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 Garlic optional.
At New Horizon Ranch, we believe that every child is capable of greatness. Over the last 10 years, unique programs, dedicated volunteers, and horse partners have helped children and adults of all ages improve physical strength, relational, and cognitive skills. Sometimes it's reading to our miniature horses, and sometimes it's riding. But it's always therapeutic and educational. Learn more about what we do and how you can get involved at newhorizonranch.org.
Give a gift that helps feed a city. The Giving Grove helps communities grow, harvest, and share healthy food by planting fruit trees, nuts, and berries at local Kansas City schools, churches, and in low-income underserved neighborhoods. To date, the Giving Grove has planted nearly 1,500 fruit and nut trees, which will provide over 180 tons of fresh food each year over the life of these trees. You can help by planting a tree. A donation of $50 pays for the tree, supplies, and community education needed for caring of the trees. Visit givinggrove.org to donate your tree.
Unchain, unwind at Rico's for lunch. Enjoy classic, tasteful Italian cuisine in a unique hideaway at the southeast quarter of College in Quivira. Ask about our daily lunch specials or enjoy a wood-fired pizza with a specialty salad. Our delicious lunch menu is complemented by a global wine selection, including 25 varietals served by the glass. Full menu featured at ricoskc.com. Join us for lunch weekdays at Rico's.
Wendy's Coffee House. Near-death experiencers have some amazing stories, and some of those involve exploring and expanding and even acknowledging new powers that they had no idea existed prior to the near-death experience. Deborah Diamond was a Wall Street money manager. She changed her career to pursue these kinds of stories. Life and near-death, miraculous stories of healing and transformation in the extraordinary lives of people with newfound powers. Next time on Wendy's Coffee House. Follow along on the blog at wendyscoffeehouse.com. Do you smell it? Fall is in the air. The aroma of authentic festival fare in Weston. Mark your calendar. Tobacco Festival, Apple Fest, Weston Irish Festival. Each has its own unique flavor and fan club. Theme music, traditional foods and drinks make each festival a weekend-filled adventure. Everyone has a favorite. Visit westonmo.com or download the new Weston mobile app for more information and a complete calendar of all festival events. See you there.
Kansas City's most stimulating talk, KCMO.
Wendy's Coffee House, Talk Radio KCMO. Hi there. Hope you're having a good morning. Wanted to switch gears and talk about something that happened. Gosh, it doesn't seem that long ago. 15 years ago. Lily Leonardi is my guest this morning. She's written the book In the Shadow of a Badge, a memoir about Flight 93, A Field of Angels and My Spiritual Homecoming. And I've talked with Lily before. Her story is fantastic. She waited 10 years, and it's very compelling. Lily, hi there, and thanks for getting up early.
Hi, Wendy. I'm an early riser anyway, even it's other than a scratchy voice this morning, of course. I woke up with allergies. So.
That time of year.
Oh, yeah, it is for me.
Okay. For anyone who hasn't heard this story before, I would like you to just do an overview of where you were and what was happening, your background, everything that leads up to this moment with your encounter.
Well, I began in law enforcement in 1984 and worked as a police officer for about 10 years in a small community here in western Pennsylvania. And then went on to do a few years on two college campuses as the chief of police. Did some work with the Department of Justice in, with about 40 other instructors in the area of community policing and traveled around the country teaching the principals. About 1997, I was at a training, and a gentleman who happened to be an executive with the FBI recruited me for a position with the Pittsburgh Division. And in 1998, I I began that one. I managed the public and community affairs for the Pittsburgh division that encompassed all of Western Pennsylvania and West Virginia. And so on September 11th of 2001, I was employed with the Bureau. And like many of my colleagues from around the country, was deployed to the Flight 93 crash site here in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. And in the first moments of being there, through all the horrific events and the carnage and the fear of walking out on that field, I was privileged to have to take mobile command up with two other gentlemen from the Bureau. And in those initial moments of standing there, I witnessed what I call a legion of angels present themselves on that field around the perimeter of the crash site. And like most, was had a multitude of responses to it, emotional, spiritual, and analytical. And it led me on a journey that took quite a while to resolve in my mind.
See, that part of it, and then this is something I've done a lot of work with, those transcendent experiences, for one thing, they blow your reality out the door. Whatever you thought was real, it doesn't fit. And so that initial thing of, here you're going through an incredible trauma. I was on the air that day, and I was doing the news here, as a matter of fact. I've stepped out of the news as a result. That was a contributing factor. But when they came in and somebody handed me the little handwritten note that said a plane has crashed into the World Trade Center, I'm looking, thinking, you know, sometimes they do, it's basically gallows humor. Sometimes they do things to throw you off. And I'm looking at the guy who's handing me this paper thinking, are you legit? And I can see by the look on his face that the white as a sheet, he's looking at me. And then they're watching in the other room, the monitor, as I'm watching that. I know I've got to go on with the story. And it changed everything. Now, the experience you had with that, and it, you talk about the post-traumatic stress, because you're going in, I think somewhere I read that it was, you're the first on the scene and the last to leave. And during this time, going back daily, what was that like? Because you knew with this sighting that something was different.
Well, in that article, I referenced the first to arrive and the last to leave relating to all law enforcement or military. That's kind of the way that we're taught that, you know, you go in and do what you have to do and you exit doing what you have to do. So I have to credit that with everyone I worked with, that my role in my mind was minuscule as far as it worked, because if I recall the numbers right, at Flight 93 alone, there were 1,200 that responded to collect evidence, to work humanitarian, you know, efforts, and there were so many people out there, and everyone worked in tandem. I reference in the book, it was like watching a busy beehive at work, because nobody cared what their role or their position when they arrived. Everybody did everything they could to work and make the evidence recovery as precise, and to work with the surviving family members, because those that died on that plane and at all three sites, those that died in the towers and the family members that survived, they were paramount in everyone's mind, to find the answers, you know, because all my years in law enforcement, the hardest question to answer to loved ones when they lose someone is why. And in those first days, although we knew why, there were a lot of unanswered questions that we would be responsible to relate to not only those families, but to those in positions of power that needed to know and needed to be able to answer that long-lasting question to this day, why?
See, the thing I think that you have a very unique role in is bringing the spiritual component, because when these things happen, you know, there's the physical thing of everything, you know, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, all the logic. But the other element, the other element is the metaphysical, and you had a window of that. What was that? There's a twinkling, you know, the little sparks of light. What happened with that when you, can you give a detail of what you saw?
Well, I stood there probably like most looking across that field in those initial moments, and I saw this twinkling of light. I don't know if you're familiar with the Flight 93 memorial that exists today, but the twinkling of light, and I thought it was coming off the ponds that were there, and I thought perhaps that some fish had been killed and were floating on the top of the water, and the reflection was coming off their, you know, the scales. I stood there thinking, almost like three people. First, the FBI employee that was going to be required to contact the division headquarters and give them like a breakdown of maybe what our essential needs would be at that point, because unlike the other locations, we were out in a landfill area. The second one, I remember, I wanted to cry and didn't allow myself to do it, but all I kept thinking about how many mothers wouldn't be able to say goodbye to their children that day, relating from a mother and a grandmother's standpoint on that day. And then the third, completely horrified by what you're looking at and praying to God for his divine intervention and guidance. And as those flickers got stronger, my attention kept being drawn to what then appeared to look like white light. Like, you know, I tell people when I go to talk about the book in different locations, the brightness and the coloration of that light, I can't describe it. I've never seen a cloud as white. I've never seen anything as white and as brilliant as that light was that day. And within a matter of moments, the light turned into what I call like a mist. And then it parted, and there were the angels, the archangels, just in military, precise military formation. I call them a legion because there were so many. There were rows and rows and rows that as you look, their features began to fade. From my recollection, I saw male and female facial features. I saw skin color that would be representative of our entire world. Probably compare it to I once read there were 93 cultures that were affected when the World Trade Center, went down.
And hold then on, Lily, hold on. Yes. I'm going to have to interrupt you because we've got to take a break for news and commercials.
Okay.
But hang on a second because I want you to come back, because that's a good point.
Okay.
To take a moment. We're listening to Lily Leonardi in The Shadow Over the Badge is a book, her recollection being on the crash site there of Flight 93, September 11th, 2001, and her experience with angels. Because this is the other part of the story we don't all get to hear about that makes it incredibly compelling. There's more going on than what we see here in this physical plane. Lily Leonardi next, Wendy's Coffee House on Talk Radio, KCMO. Wendy's Coffee House on Talk Radio, KCMO, continuing to build the archive library. Got several shows in there now. One of them is Connecting with Coincidence, Dr. Bernard Beitman. He talks about how coincidences may have a lot more in common than we realize, and we might be able to actually connect those a little bit better. The word telepathy factors into the equation. Find out more with Dr. Bernard Beitman on Wendy's Coffee House. Check it out in the archives at wendyscoffeehouse.com.
Unchained. unwind at Rico's for lunch. Enjoy classic, tasteful Italian cuisine in a unique hideaway at the southeast corner of College and Quivira. Ask about our daily lunch specials or enjoy a wood-fired pizza with a specialty salad. Our delicious lunch menu is complemented by a global wine selection, including 25 varietals served by the glass. Full menu featured at ricoskc.com. Join us for lunch weekdays at Rico's.
CBS News Update. A U.S. and Russian agreement has been worked out with a ceasefire set to begin in Syria at sundown Monday. It's supposed to last for 7 days, a pause in a war that's lasted for more than 5 years. Here's Sky's Enda Brady.
What will happen now is that all of the information that has been agreed and what has come out will be fed back to the Syrian government. One key point, John Kerry has said opposition groups, he said they need to distance themselves from al-Nusra and so-called Islamic State. That is a word of warning from John Kerry.
Aaron David Miller is a former Mideast advisor at the State Department. He says with this agreement, the Russians and Vladimir Putin have things working to their advantage.
The Russians have controlled this diplomatic dance with respect to ceasefires. Russian air power will now play a major role, and Putin, I think, is more or less on the way to establishing his objective. He secured Assad's consolidated rule over his Damascus, Homs, and good part of Aleppo.
CBS News Up.
KCMO weather from KCTV 5.
Patchy clouds to start your Saturday with most temperatures leaning towards the 50s. So the air is definitely going to be cool enough to go ahead and crack the windows open a little bit. Only warming up into the middle 70s by the afternoon with sunny skies staying clear and cool as we head into the evening. I'm Storm Track 5 meteorologist Ronnell Williams.
Do you smell it? Fall is in the air. The aroma of authentic festival fare in Weston. Mark your calendar. Tobacco Festival, Apple Fest, Weston Irish Festival. Each has its own unique flavor and fan club. Theme music, traditional foods and drinks make each festival a weekend-filled adventure. Everyone has a favorite. Visit westonmo.com or download the new Weston mobile app for more information and a complete calendar of all festival events. See you there.
When a nightlight speaks and only you can understand it, do you listen? Or pretend that your imagination is merely playing tricks? Talking to Nightlights is a revitalizing spiritual guide that follows a woman's inspirational journey to learn the power that can be harnessed by losing fear and suspending disbelief. Available now on Kindle and paperback at Amazon.com.
Stop being drained by energy vampires. A full energy audit from Eric's Energy will expose the pesky problems plaguing your home. Weatherization, insulation, and other energy-saving technologies installed by experienced, reliable technicians will drive a stake through the heart of what's tormenting you. Call 816-537-5100 or visit us at ericsenergy.com. 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 Garlic optional. Give a gift that helps feed a city. The Giving Grove helps communities grow, harvest, and share healthy food by planting fruit trees, nuts, and berries at local Kansas City schools, churches, and in low-income underserved neighborhoods. To date, the Giving Grove has planted nearly 1,500 fruit and nut trees, which will provide over 180 tons of fresh food each year over the life of these trees. You can help by planting a tree. A donation of $50 pays for the tree, supplies, and community education needed for caring of the trees. Visit givinggrove.org to donate your tree.
Listen up, Kansas City. Dave Ramsey here. I'm excited to announce that for the first time ever, the Smart Money Tour featuring New York Times number one best-selling author Rachel Cruze and me. We're headed back. That's right. We're going to be in Kansas City on October 20th. If you're tired of living paycheck to paycheck and you're wondering what you're going to do when retirement comes around, well, you can find the answers at this one-night event. It's time to live more and worry less. Just visit DaveRamsey.com and reserve your Smart Money seats today.
We've got your news right here. KCMO. Online at KCMOtalkradio.com. KCMO. Kansas City's most stimulating talk.
I never dreamed that any mere physical experience could be so stimulating.
KCMO.
Oh!
KCMO.
Wendy's Coffee House. Talk Radio KCMO. Lily Leonardi, my guest, in the shadow of a badge, 9/11, a memoir. This story, it's took you 10 years before you came out and started talking about it after you retired. Is that, I don't know how to start with this, but the angels, the legion of angels that you said you saw, that is compelling just because there's so many. Did that continue?
Well, as I said, when I saw it, all I could think of was like a legion, again, because of the stance they took. And after you move through the bewilderment of everything that transpired, you know, your analytical mind takes over and you begin to question. So just like most of the law enforcement officers or just most of the people I know, you would start to research to understand and try to answer that question why. As I learned more and reflected back on my life, I realized that I had been visited by angels from the time I was a child. And that's why when I saw one archangel particular out in front, I knew him to be Archangel Michael. But what one of the things that bewildered me there was he appeared to be the only one that had a weapon, a saber, and it was angled down toward the ground. It took a lot of years. It took me the first year before I would even acknowledge it, that it happened, and it was post the anniversary of the first anniversary. But I will tell you, Wendy, the next book I'm working on in collaboration with another woman. Her name is Nancy Newsom. Her husband, Dennis, we just spent the last 2 years getting his book. It's more like a short story about his spiritual experiences at the World Trade Center. But for about the last 2 years, we've been collecting stories and interviewing responders. And there's a number of those that served that day in the post days of recovery that have moments of spirituality that happened not only when you step out on the field, but as the buildings came tumbling down. There are many stories, and hopefully within the next year or two, we'll be able to bring those to light. And I will tell you, when you sit down to speak with these responders, they're hesitant at first to tell you that spiritual side because they've questioned it for years too. They questioned, like I did, were you losing your mind because of the... And it's important to collect them because many people aren't aware of the number that have died from the illnesses and disease that relate directly to their work as a responder. And so it's imperative that we work to collect so that those stories aren't lost, that in the middle of the most terrible incident that our country can recall, that there was a presence there that I call God, and most of the others that I have interviewed and Nancy has talked to that believe that his presence was there that day. And in the reflection of an angelic being in orbs, in golden ribbons, and an angel or a prophet that appeared as they walked across the Brooklyn Bridge. And so there's a lot of stories out there. And with the work you do, you already know that. I don't have to sit here and try to convince you. But the hardest part in having an analytical mind in particular, and when you're trained that just the facts, it drives you to endless nights of no sleep trying to answer two questions in my particular case. Why me, and just why in general? What exactly transpired that day? And it was a long journey, just like the others. Most of them have not even spoken of it until the last couple of years too. So
it takes a while. I mean, this was a tremendous trauma, a huge, huge tragedy. And it affects people in ways they don't even realize. And even now, it's really difficult for some people to to this is you're reliving these events every time there's an anniversary. And we've had that locally in Kansas City with the Hyatt tragedy. And there was also an incident where we had first responders who firemen. I remember being in the building when this happened and there was an explosion and the first responders on that scene were immediately they were killed. And then going back from the news angle and trying to get interviews from the family, from the coworkers, from all of that, and you know, reopening those deep wounds. It's very difficult from the news aspect of going back and saying, relive this.
The easiest way for me to explain is I spoke with a gentleman who was a detective sergeant, and he said as he ran toward the first building to respond, the carnage was just unbelievable. That what he was viewing firsthand, the media just it didn't even reflect. And he said as he ran toward the first building, the shadow of the plane hit the second came across where they were running, and he watched as the second plane struck the tower. He said for a moment, a man that was fearless became fearful. And as he looked up, he said he prayed for God to help him because he said in that moment, he realized that he had believed himself to be Superman. And there he stood on the street of New York, feeling as helpless and as fearful as anyone else. And in that moment, he said that his psyche crumbled. He did what he had to do, but he came out. He came out of that a very different man. And I reflect the same thing that, you know, we're trained, like my dad always used to tell me, oh, he didn't mean it in a bad way, but he used to say I was too stupid to be afraid because if something bad happened, I would run to it. And that's most of the men and women that I know that are in law enforcement or in the military. They run toward it because that's the way we're programmed. So in the moments of reflection after, and you realize the death and the carnage and the survivors and what's going to transpire, their pain becomes your pain. And you not only are looking at it analytically and spiritually, but in the relative nature of how you are one. You're connected. And I think that's a lot when you've been trained the way we were, not to feel, not to react, just to do. And again, it reflects in the number that are sick and the number that have passed and even the volunteers and the recovery workers that work to bring down the girders that are sick. I think we pull all that pain in and don't know what to do with it and almost get to a point where your mind, body, spirit is self-combusting. Or I often say to others when I talk that what you remember in your mind is so bad that all you want to do is go home, where it will be peaceful and you want to go home to have escape.
Okay, and so that's why these other things that you're working on, I saw on your website a television series, Angel Quest, In Search of the Messengers, and we've only got a few minutes before we close the show, but I'm going to introduce that. Is that still in progress?
Well, it's still in progress. We're pitching away, and we've had a couple of the TV networks look at it. Right now, working on looking at to do it through radio to bring those stories to light.
Okay. Hold on, because we're going to take a break. Yay. All right. You give me a good spot to take a break. Lily Leonardi. Okay. Grab some more coffee. Take a couple minutes. We're going to do a little commercial break. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about this because I think this is taking it forward and bringing that, you know, this is one of those things that is a result that is the highlight and the high point and the how we go forward from tragedies that make us want to stop and not go out of our house. Okay, so listen to that. And if you catch any of this you want to hear more of, check the download, wendyscoffeehouse.com. You can find it there. More with Lily Leonardi next on Talk Radio KCMO.
Lights flickering, feeling an occasional draft, afraid to go to the basement because it smells too ghastly. Let Eric's Energy do a whole house energy assessment to locate the energy draining skeletons in your closet. Install quality conventional solar, geothermal, or other energy-saving technologies for a happy, comfortable home. Call 816-537-5100 or visit us at ericsenergy.com. ericsenergy.com. That's ericsenergy.com. Do you smell it? Fall is in the air. The aroma of authentic festival fare in Weston. Mark your calendar. Tobacco Festival, Apple Fest, Weston Irish Festival. Each has its own unique flavor and fan club. Theme music, traditional foods and drinks make each festival a weekend-filled adventure. Everyone has a favorite. Visit westonmo.com or download the new Weston mobile app for more information and a complete calendar of all festival events. See you there. Wendy's Coffee House on Talk Radio KCMO, continuing to build the archive library. Got several shows in there now. One of them is Connecting with Coincidence, Dr. Bernard Beitman. He talks about how coincidences may have a lot more in common than we realize, and we might be able to actually connect those a little bit better. The word telepathy factors into the equation. Find out more with Dr. Bernard Beitman on Wendy's Coffee House. Check it out in the archives at wendyscoffeehouse.com.
At New Horizon Ranch, we believe that every child is capable of greatness. Over the last 10 years, unique programs, dedicated volunteers, and horse partners have helped children and adults of all ages improve physical strength, relational, and cognitive skills. Sometimes it's reading to our miniature horses, and sometimes it's riding. But it's always therapeutic and educational. Learn more about what we do and how you can get involved at newhorizonranch.org.
Give a gift that helps feed a city. The Giving Grove helps communities grow, harvest, and share healthy food by planting fruit trees, nuts, and berries at local Kansas City schools, churches, and in low-income underserved neighborhoods. To date, the Giving Grove has planted nearly 1,500 fruit and nut trees, which will provide over 180 tons of fresh food each year over the life of these trees. You can help by planting a tree. A donation of $50 pays for the tree, supplies, and community education needed for caring of the trees. Visit givinggrove.org to donate your tree. Wendy's Coffee House. Near-death experiencers have some amazing stories, and some of those involve exploring and expanding and even acknowledging new powers that they had no idea existed prior to the near-death experience. Deborah Diamond was a Wall Street money manager. She changed her career to pursue these kinds of stories. Life and near-death, miraculous stories of healing and transformation in the extraordinary lives of people with newfound powers. Next time on Wendy's Coffee House. Follow along on the blog at wendyscoffeehouse.com.
Listen up, Kansas City. Dave Ramsey here. I'm excited to announce that for the first time ever, the Smart Money Tour featuring New York Times number one best-selling author Rachel Cruze and me. We're headed back. That's right. We're going to be in Kansas City on October 20th. If you're tired of living paycheck to paycheck and you're wondering what you're going to do when retirement comes around, well, you can find the answers at this one-night event. It's time to live more and worry less. Just visit DaveRamsey.com and reserve your Smart Money seats today.
Local, regional, and national news from CBS Radio News at the top and bottom of the hour, every hour.
On Kansas City's most stimulating talk.
103.7 FM and AM 710 KCMO.
Hey guys, it's Carson. Enjoy this glorious weekend and check out the podcast. We got Hillary in Kansas City playing to a small audience, football players sitting during the national anthem and more. Go to KCMOTalkRadio.com. Look for Carson in the morning.
Kansas City's most stimulating talk, KCMO. Kansas City's most stimulating talk.
Why don't you talk into the microphone? I got a backup mic right here. Check, one, two, testing, testing.
KCMO, Kansas City.
Wendy's Coffee House on Talk Radio KCMO. My guest, Lily Leonardi. You can check her out, lilyleonardi.com. And you can check out the books. There are a couple, in addition to The Shadow of the Badge, The White Light of Grace, and Before I Go. And the next one, you mentioned you were coming out with another one that had several stories of first responders. I think that's fantastic. But I wanted to follow up with the series, the work in progress here, because you're asking people to contribute as well. This is Angel Quest in Search of Messengers, right?
Yes. And we're currently looking for a home for the program and also exploring the opportunity to maybe move into radio and as we wait for where it will land. But we've been collecting stories, and the first programs would include people like Dennis Frederick and John Morabito, who were Dennis Blitt, the Port Authority police officer who was in the towers and survived. And John Morabito was a New York firefighter that was in the towers and survived. And so I think it's important to share. And when I travel around the country, whether there's a group of 25 or 250, one of the first questions I ask is, how many believe in angels? And they raise their hands and ask them just with a show of hands, and then ask everyone in the room to look around to see. Wendy, it averages 90 to 95 people in that room that believe in winged messengers. I then ask for a few of them to share stories, and it's just amazing in the moments that they either they felt, heard, or saw what they believed to be an angelic being, and that the room got warm and the dulcet voices, and it's all relatable to the others in that room if one person shares. And it's almost like when you look at what the Bible, when two or more gathered as one, it becomes a communal experience because everyone is connected spiritually. So it's been a long journey to come to understand it and allow myself to feel authentic. My mother tells me the first time I told her and Dad about the angel visiting in the room, she recalls it to be that I was youngest three up through the time of seven. The first time I remember feeling his touch was at my first communion. And so it's almost 60 years of life, and it took me 50 of those to come to grips with that I am who I am. I'm not here to require anybody to believe, but I will go to my grave giving testimony of what I saw that day and what I felt that day and what I heard. And, you know, Wendy, even under hypnosis, many, many, many EMDRs, it comes out the same. So my subconscious relates the same thing that my conscious mind remembers.
The thing about this is, especially when we have different titles that place us in unique positions in life, is that your story has a little bit more authority and authenticity because of the wearing of that badge.
Well, that would depend upon who you would ask that question or share that with.
Lily, okay, yeah. Well, let's not go there. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Okay, that's
and
the door.
Won't
yeah.
Go there.
Yeah. But that's the whole thing. It's the whole thing, and it might be that you have a higher expectation from people saying that if you're going to wear that, then there's other things that we expect. But that's life. That's life. And you know, mom and pop also have higher expectations to live up to as well. But I think that with your gathering of these stories and giving people permission to say, look, this is a part of our experience too. It doesn't make you weird. It doesn't make you unnatural, unnormal, abnormal, whatever thing you want to attach to it that says it's a negative. This is us. And we experience things that we don't have explanations for at this time. And you're giving people a chance to recover in that sharing.
Well, you know what? It's almost ironic that when these individuals begin their story, they're hesitant and almost embarrassed to say it. And then when they're done, 9 out of 10 of them start become very emotional. And I've seen men and women cry. And they're relieved to have told somebody that understands that moment is so humbling. That moment, most of us don't feel worthy of something to transpire of that nature. So in that moment of relief, especially if you were raised to be like Christian, that confessional moment for them, you can see a change in them. It's like an awakening, a transitional element relating to them being able to tell their tale, and it's almost like they finally exhale and say, oh my God, somebody finally listened and understood.
The deal is there's a tremendous sense of humility and of just gratitude. You know, in a way, there's this a transcendent thing that says, oh, wow. Wow. For me, the world opened. It wasn't a shutting down. It was like, oh, you know, the words don't make it any better. And they don't give a full, there's no way, as you said, like when you're trying to tell people what this is like, there's no way I can give you what this experience feels like. But when you know it, it doesn't diminish it. It doesn't go away. It's this incredible, fantastic awakening to a much greater awareness of reality. And that's what you are sharing in your work. Angel Quest, In Search of Messengers, people can connect with you and tell their stories because this is ongoing. And I hope you get the radio thing launched as well.
Me too. Yeah. Thanks. From your mouth to God's ears, you know, that would be great. I just want to like finish with what you were saying. I think it's important that people share, because the more that you share and the more you realize that, you know, my grandmother had a saying, once you become a grandmother, you really don't care what anybody thinks. And I'm one four times over, so I've lived my life and I worked hard. But it's still humbling, and it's awakening every time you talk to another human being that shares in their journey of that moment when life was completely altered and they were never the same.
That, for me, kind of sums it all up in a way that you in general, I don't know, you step into this new awareness and you have a much greater appreciation for everybody else who's going through some kind of trauma, and you'll never know it. And you think, maybe I should be a little nicer in this moment. And it doesn't mean you can fully complete that and fully make that happen on a regular basis. But I think it gives you the inspiration and the incentive to say, maybe I didn't get that full sense of who this person was next to me. And next time, I won't be as judgmental or as quick to assume I know what they're going through. And I think if that, you know, gives everybody else a sense of comfort, then you've succeeded. You've succeeded.
Well, it's gotten easier to do two things. My dad always said the hardest words for someone to say were, I'm sorry. I have learned to say I love you more often, and I have learned to say I'm sorry more often.
I got to let Lily go. LilyLeonardi.com, the website. Lily, thank you for sharing. I appreciate your time. I appreciate your work, and I'm going to keep supporting you and sharing and all that good stuff to make sure your story is continuing to be told. All right?
Thanks, Wendy, and give Mark my regards too for helping out.
Thank you.
All right, take care.
You can catch the podcast of this show, wendystalkradio.com. If you want to hear more about the details, check out I'll do the laundry list of our news headlines. A lot of great things happening, and we're all part of it. So as you go through this weekend, that thing of saying thank you and opening up your eyes, there's a lot going on that we don't see with the eyes. That heart makes it real. Till next time, stay curious. WendysCoffeeHouse.com.